Live from beautiful Orlando, Florida, it's Watch Watch with Jackie Chestnut.
And then we see like the shot of the studio audience, and our host comes out, and you're like, "Hey everybody, hey, hey, oh, sit down, sit down. Sit down. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the energy. I love the energy." Jackie Chestnut, when he comes out onto the show, he seems to be a man with boundless energy, like a man who just had a coffee enema and did quite a bit of cocaine mere moments before he came out here.
He's been drinking those caffeine lemonades from Panera.
Yeah.
He's had two and a half. He is half a lemonade away from death.
Yeah, if he has the other half of this lemonade after all of the coffee enemas and cocaine he's ingested, his heart will explode.
And he's sipping the other half of that lemonade throughout the show. He's just really pacing himself.
Yeah, he keeps touching the rim of the cup and then rubbing his gums.
Yeah, he's like staring into the void between every like manic sentence he says. Like,
yeah,
I just drank the other half of that lemonade.
And I think that so he's a man who he's wearing a. I think he is wearing this kind of a thing. Like he's wearing a gray t-shirt that looks like a little too slick, like a little like, oh, is this like a design? Like how Simon Cowell would just sometimes wear a t-shirt. And it's the kind of thing of like, did you pay a bunch of money for that fucking t-shirt, Simon Cowell, just to tell people that they're bad in your British accent? And then over that, he's got kind of a trendy jacket that's either got like a print type of thing or like a window pane outfit, like someone's jacket that they're wearing in this video. And he does have glasses, and a lot of people are constantly going, are there frames in those? Or not frames, are there lenses in those frames? It's that kind of a thing where he moves around a bunch and you're like, I can't tell if there's lenses in there or if they're just fake. But otherwise, I think he has a like a Ryan Seacrest kind of look to him. But how do I put this? Store brand Ryan Seacrest, who's definitely like sent people pictures of his feet for money, kind of a thing. So
Ryan
skin and like Ryan C minus Crest.
These are great.
Ryan's
writing these down.
Ryan Seacrest fallen. Thanks everybody for being here. We have an amazing show tonight. Tonight we are joined by WTAD's newest hit show. They're just wrapping up their first full season and everybody's so excited. And before the big finale gets laid on us, oh boy, we've got the whole cast. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause. Round of applause for the full cast of The Young and the Monstrous. The Young and the Monstrous. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you so much. Oh my God. Thank you guys for being here.
Happy to be here, Jackie.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh. Thank you. Of course, we've got to start it off with Miss Lilith Evergreen herself joining us. We'll introduce the whole cast just in case you guys aren't used to seeing them out of hair and makeup. They look great. Who needs it, right? I mean, look at these guys. Those hair and makeup people. Thank you. I know for me, they have to do a lot. I'm in the chair for 3 hours, but for you guys, it's probably in and out. Those folks probably love their job. I'm looking at Jessica from makeup, and she is giving me a hell of a look, so I'll zip it. All right, so let's introduce everybody. We've got, of course, Callie Conway as Lilith Evergreen, our favorite fairy who's just arrived. It's a little scary sometimes.
Only on her bad days. Hey, guys, how's everyone doing?
We see a short woman with red hair. Very fair skin, and she is wearing a dark green dress with a lot of gold kind of embroidery on it, and she has a tiny hat that is kind of clipped into her hair, almost like the kind of thing somebody would wear at a fancy ball, but it's a tiny little hat, and it has a bird on it. It's hearkening back to the old days where ladies would wear those hats with actual stuffed birds on it.
That's fantastic. And of course, right next door, we've got Belinda Onions, our resident witch in, well, residence.
Well, bless your heart. Jackie, I'm just so nice. So such a pleasure. I just can't believe it. I think Belinda is she's wearing like a maybe like a pantsuit, and she has like very short, like blonde gray hair. Like it's very obvious she wears a wig in the show. It's like floral prints everywhere. And yeah, I think she's sitting, you know, straight up in her chair the whole time. Just Bible lady.
Our Southern Belle. Oh, she's phenomenal, everybody. Thank you, Belinda, for joining us today. This is so phenomenal. We've got Jodo T himself.
Yes, it's me, Mr. Tremestrine. Jodo, Jodor feels kind of like he's going for like a Timothy Chalamet look, like really young with it, hip, sleek, all the good promise of youth and beauty, but he just is like all those things, but like at an 8 instead of a 10. And like, he's just trying really hard to be like in that tier of like, I'm an up and coming star. But yeah, he just doesn't quite pull it off.
Is it real Timothy Chalamet? Maybe.
There you go. There it is.
That's good.
Contractually obligated to bring you further pleasure.
Oh, and I believe having you on screen has regularly been a lot of pleasure brought to everybody. Am I right? She knows what I'm talking about. Shot over to a lady who's like a grandma who's blushing. Things wouldn't be complete without the heartthrob of everyone involved. That's Xanthippe Clayton, the woman whose love is almost the center point of the show. Xanthippe, Emily Westmore, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Oh, love to hear it.
All right, when Xanthippe appears, she appears up on a big screen kind of behind everyone else who's being interviewed. So she's much larger than everyone else. She is a white woman with a very severe bob haircut. Think kind of Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction. And she's got the big kind of like cat glasses. But she is wearing what appears to be like a naval dress uniform, but tied at like cut for fashion purposes. And behind her is we see a like a lot of jungle. Like she's very much in some kind of tropical rainforest. Oh my! Now it seems that something's happening with Xanthippe. Can you hear me? I think we're cutting out. It seems. Oh, there. Oh, she's got some friends to help. She's got some. Oh, maybe there's security. Oh. Getting a note from our producer, Sarah. That seems to be some kind of guerrilla group. And, oh, yes. Well, we seem to have lost the feed. Well, we'll see if we can get her back up there in a little bit. But let's hop over here.
And if that accent is something you're looking for, we've got to hop just across a little waterway to, of course, Paul Polland, our resident ghost. He's haunting us right now. And we look over and we see Paul Polland. He just kind of nods, says like, "Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's pretty good. Pretty good to be here. Always excited to meet the fans and see everybody." So exciting. So exciting, everyone. Season finale. Our season one finale is about to air in, obviously, the second to last episode just aired. Everybody just saw it. We are on pins and needles. But that finale is coming up next week. Thank God we only have to wait a week minus half an hour. Am I right, everybody? The fans are dying to know. They're dying to know some juicy tidbits about you, about your characters, about what it's like to put this show together. Because I know it's not just you guys. It's a crew. It's hair. It's makeup. It's everyone behind the camera. It's everybody who built the set. It's the firefighters and the police and the troops. Don't forget them. Because if we forget them, then honestly, have we forgot ourselves as a nation? But you guys, on screen, it's wonderful. And we've got some questions. Now, we've put some questions together ourselves, and our audience has also put some questions together. I know you want to ask a question, and it points at like a girl wearing like a I Love You Kyle shirt And she's holding an I love you, Kyle sign. And I think I know who you want to ask a question to. And there's like another little girl dressed like Celine. By little, I mean like tweens, probably. Teens or tweens. All right. And I know what this guy wants to do, but he's probably going to ask questions about feet. Yuck. Am I right? And like, there's a guy who's just embarrassed. He's like, he's the butt of the joke. So let's just get right into it. First of all, we've wrapped a whole season. You guys have, we haven't. We're on pins and needles again, pins and needles to see what's going to happen. But, you know, there's a lot of curiosity. So, Callie, Miss Lilith Evergreen, we got a question for you. And he takes out of his pocket some cards.
Oh boy, here we go.
Now, Callie, you've got another big project going on right now. Now, obviously, you're going to get a chance to talk about it. Of course, you can plug your stuff. Am I right, girl? Obviously. But how do you play such different characters? I mean, these two roles couldn't, they're night and day.
They are. And you know what? As an actor, that's honestly a really fun challenge because you always kind of come back to your role feeling really refreshed. You know, Lilith has this amazing grace and humility and purity to her. But obviously when I'm, you know, fighting in another galaxy in a very marvelous kind of way, and that's really all I can say about that with the new stuff wrapping up.
Oh, you better. Oh, you can't leave a morsel on a plate and not have it a dish.
Oh, well, if I want to keep my contract, I think you know I do.
Oh, but boo. Am I right, everybody? Boo.
No, you guys know how much I love you. But
oh, that's a stinker.
Oh, my agent would hurt me. But no, it is so unbelievably refreshing to have such a pure, sweet soul like Lilith. And, you know, as we all know, she gets to have her dark moments too. And that I kind of rely on my other characters that I've done for that. It's really great to kind of have that crossover. But I can say one of my other projects that you can see coming up later this year, I was lucky enough to get to work with Greta Gerwig. And so we're going to be putting out a new independent film pretty soon. So.
Oh, Lilla Barbie, Barba Lillen. What is it? I can't think of it. Callie Conway, Greta Gerwig. This is going to be a hit. Now, I can't wait for that marvelous Miss Maisel, whatever that marvelous adventure you might have is.
What could it be?
I know. Seeing you out in space. I don't know. I think some of these fans are going to be upset to see you all snuggled up in a spacesuit, except for that guy. And it's, again, the same guy. He just keeps pointing to the same, like dad who just keeps getting embarrassed that he's there with his, like, family. And he's like, oh, boy.
Jackie, I don't know what this man has done to you. I am so sorry, sir.
Oh, he knows. He knows what he did. Look at him blushing. That's guilt. That's guilt all over his face. We're so excited. And that project, those projects sound amazing. Everybody is, we're holding our breaths. We are
well,
so excited.
I have to say that, you know, a lot of the it came really easy for these other projects when I'm having to use the green screen because of how much I got to utilize it in my, let's call it more monstrous moments in the show. So it became very, very normal to work with the screens, which I think all of us can say, like, that can be a challenge every once in a while.
Yes, that is. Oh, and speaking of that, we got to hop over to somebody who was not shy on the green screens and apparently not as green as we would have thought to this kind of action. Somebody who's not shy to get in there physically and apparently suffered a couple of scrapes and bruises pretty bad is you, Mr. Paul Poland, Everett. While he might be intangible and can just slide through walls, apparently, you were getting thrown around quite a bit, and you insisted on doing all of your own stunts. We've got our own ghostly Jackie Chan over here. Am I right, everybody? So tell us, what was it like? What inclined you to try to do all of your own stunts?
Wait now, Jackie Chan died? I did not hear about that. That poor man. I loved his films.
Oh, Belinda, you are a cut-up. And I think he's wearing like a dress shirt with no tie, or the tie's like really undone really far, and he's got just like a black suit on, and maybe the shirt's not tucked in, and he's also wearing sunglasses inside. And he's like, you know, being an actor is not just about being somebody else. It's about being real to the character. And if the character is going through that, then I should have to go through it. In a previous role, you know, I'd played a man who was a paraplegic, and I tried to talk the director into giving me a serum that would temporarily remove me of the use of my arms and legs. And the director said, that's not what actors do. Actors are apparently supposed to pretend to be other people. And I said, why should I pretend to be someone else when I could be them myself? If anything, isn't that what an actor is? Really, truly getting in there and being another person? Anyway.
And he's always been so inspiring, honestly, for the rest of us on set with his truly dedicated methods. Everybody has their own process, but it's always been really inspiring to watch.
I'm just here being me. But when I hear action, that's not Paul anymore, not Paul Poland. That's somebody else. He's got to be somebody else. Everett Monroe, he can float around. So what do I have him do? Strap me into the harness. I said, no green screen. Not going to do it. Did I break a foot? I broke a foot. Did I dislocate my shoulder? I did. Did one of my testicles get ruptured? No. Both of them got ruptured. Because I care. It's been something. And you know what? If Everett wasn't a ghost, he'd have experienced that. But it's up to me to go through that, get both my testicles ruptured, and still be able to talk about how cute a la Jocasta is and how I don't want to be in a card anymore.
So, Paul, do you want to tell everyone what your nickname became on set after your testicular incident?
No. He waves it away. And then you hear like, oh, come on. We've got to do this. Come on, Paul. Paul, you got to tell us.
Yeah.
Paul's still being like, no.
Oh my gosh, haggis sack.
It's stupid. Yeah. It doesn't even make sense.
You know, when you ruptured them, the sound was strange, but that smell I will never forget. I can never think of haggis again.
It's not even an Irish thing. Doesn't make sense. It was a stupid nickname. And you know, yeah, it hurt, but I had to pretend because I'm a real actor. I had to pretend that I wasn't hurting at all.
I must say, Paul, as admirable an acting attempt you made after having emptied your testicles on set and having to deal with that in the scene, I dare say it may have been equally difficult for us. You know, we had to act through the smell for days. It lingered, and after coming across a variety of nicknames for you, spurred by our deep, deep revulsion at the contents of your testicles, staining the air around us as we tried so hard to pretend that we were happy people. You really gave us all an acting challenge, and that's a rare thing in the television world. So hats off to you, little empty balls.
Well, you know, I will say it did help my acting in one way. Whenever I have to cry in a scene, I just think of that smell. It just comes right back to me and it brings a tear to my eye.
And, you know, the really best part was, you know, for at least the next week, all the blood had gone out of his face. So makeup just went like clockwork for a while with him being a ghost and all. That was actually really helpful. Thanks for that.
Paul has lit a cigarette and he's just smoking, like angrily looking off to the side and saying like, gives it a, blows out a big puff of smoke. You know, Everett Monroe, he's not going to feel pain. He's intangible, not going to hurt him. So that's whatever happens to me. It doesn't matter when I'm in that role because Paul Poland, he's not the one feeling it. It's Everett Monroe. Everett Monroe's the one getting bashed around, thrown around, getting sucked into a card. That's what's happening. Not me. Whatever's happening downstairs, which still works just fine. Still works, but that's the pain that you as an actor that you have to put out there. Everybody says in only one of your acting classes, they say put your pain out there, make yourself vulnerable, that kind of thing. But unless you really are the person. What are you even? You're not. Oh, and he,
you know, we should tell them what it's like, you know, for us on set when we're sucked into the cards and what that looks like. I think that they would find that interesting, right?
Oh, we gotta know about that, because when we see it, it's mist, it's swirling around. Oh, there's a vampire, there's a Sasquatch. Everybody, we're getting a lot of letters about Sandra, the Gill woman. Especially from this guy. And he points again to the same dad who's just blushing, and he cannot handle it.
God, I think they actually do have photos of us on set with the screens when we're in the cards, and we look absolutely ridiculous.
You're right. And Callie.
Oh, no.
I know you wanted to just talk about how fun it was, but I hope everybody's ready, because we got a few of those photos.
Oh, no.
Sarah, can you put them up on the big board? Oh, there they are. You guys want to talk about what's going on in this one? Because this one is, it looks like you guys are having fun, but also it looks like it's been a tough day.
Well, I mean, our legs have been lime green duct taped together, so we're basically unable to move. So our upper body can move, but then they can make it look like we're just, you know, voiding out of a card. So suffice it to say that I really needed a pee break by the end of the day, and couldn't sit down. So, I mean, it was tough, but you know, the end product really does speak for itself, the magic of it all. But yeah, it was a rough few days.
I insisted on, for the truth of the character, of being covered in the green screen paint and being nude, so I could really feel what it was like to be in the card itself. And people would say, you know, you're not really in a card at all, Paul. And I'd say, that's what I'm in a card. And if I think you can see that clearly, I still have the two testicles. They're still there. They're fine. I'm wearing a bit of a cone around them to discourage any kind of manipulation in any way. But I think you can see that they're still there, still intact. And yes, the cone had to be green, so it gives an illusion of a size difference, but that's the illusion of the cone.
Yes, Paul, we all know it's fine. However, if you look at everybody else in the photo in the background, you know, you can see all of us in the cast, and yeah, we're all looking pretty tired, because you can probably imagine exploding testicle smell mixed with, you know, bright green lime paint is quite an interesting odor that then lingered on for another week after the fact. But you know, he's dedicated to his process, and we're all there for it.
Now, was that after they you broke out in those hives because of that paint, or was that the day after this? Because you don't look too bad there, but
when those bumps came. I forgot about the hives. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the contents of Mr. Poland's testicles actually deposited directly into the paint that was used in the green screen. And therefore, we were actually basting ourselves in it for the majority of the second half of the shoot, in the name of the art, naturally.
Yeah, I'm just glad that you were already set up to go to the hospital and get that skin graft anyway. So,
oh my God, good timing. I blocked all of this out. Now it's all coming back up.
He takes a cigarette and he puts it out. He kind of shakes his head and says, like, I'm committed to the art. That's the deal. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be in the character and to be true to the character. That's what I need to do. And if I got to be covered in green paint to do some visual effects, I'll do it. Now, do I prefer to be up in wire work flying around? Hell, I'd prefer to actually fly. Would I prefer to be playing somebody who doesn't have eyes and just be wearing green contact lenses? No. I'd prefer to be playing someone who doesn't have eyes and get my eyes temporarily removed and then later on shoved back in, which is what I've been told by my agent is something that's possible. So I assume it's fine, but you know, it's your art, it's what you do.
Hello, I'm Jay Shrimply, owner of Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack. I want to welcome y'all to come on down for a world-famous big old seafood boil. We've been cooking up quality seafood for four generations, and whether you want a catfish, a soft-shell crab, or a famous shrimp, You'll leave with a smile on your face and a little bit of our world-famous Roscoe sauce in the corner of your mouth. Now, the South will rise again, I tell you what, but our prices, oh, shucks, they won't. So come on down, y'all. Shrimply Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across Maxine's Bridal.
The home audience can't see it, but the folks in the studio see it, that you see Jackie Chestnut, the host of the show, like screaming at an intern and like yelling, and just knocks like a cup of coffee out of the intern's hand or something like that, that the intern was trying to give him. And then he walks towards the stage, and then he turns around on his heel and walks back, and then he knocks the clipboard of papers out of the intern's hand too. And then he comes back and he's like,
no wonder Ellen DeGeneres fired you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He fixes his jacket. He adjusts his glasses, and then he comes back on, and we see the producer, the director, whoever it is, give the like three. And all right, we're back. Oh, and we have talked to some people who really get into character, haven't we? Oh, and these characters have been something. They're teens, they have magic powers, they're going through everything from puberty and trying to find love to slinging spells around and turning into monsters and coming back from the dead, as we've all seen, and we can't get enough of it. But well, we heard how Paul gets into character, apparently, by just being the character. Belinda, how is it that you can play a teen witch?
Oh, well, you know, it was a little interesting that I got picked for this part. I do feel truly blessed. You know, I'm a mite older than the rest of the cast, but, you know, I just think back, and when I was in high school, it was late 70s, as you know. And so I just had to ask my daughter, my oldest daughter, how, you know, how it was for her in high school back in, you know, the 90s. And this is set in, well, today. So I'd asked my granddaughter, and, you know, she had some things to say. And, you know, I think I got a pretty good handle on it. But since I'm playing a witch, the real thing I got to get into is just, what would Satan think? Like, what's the worst thing that could go through someone's mind? And I try and just focus on that and make a good example of what not to do for all the good Christians watching. So, yeah, I like to think I got a, you know, just a devil worshiping, just hell aimed little girl. Pretty good. I think everyone seems to like her pretty much.
Now, that had actually come up, apparently, behind the scenes. Now, we, at least in the first season, never got to meet Celine's mom. But apparently, from what I've heard, originally, Clarissa herself, Sabrina, the teenage witch, Melissa Joan Hart, was supposed to play Belinda, your Celine's mother. Now, apparently that had to get scrapped because there was some kind of conflict that happened on set. Could you, I mentioned dishing before, but at least give us a morsel.
Well, yeah, Melissa and I go way back. You know, I played her her mom in a Hallmark movie back a few years ago, coming home for Christmas, but, you know, spelled a little different. But it would have been really, really good for the trivia books if she played my mother. We were really hoping that would happen. But yeah, she actually, I guess her husband there, we all know that. Yeah, her husband, his name.
Brett the Hitman Hart. I'm aware. Yeah. We're all big fans of his.
Of course, of course.
Professional professional wrestler, Brett the Hitman Hart, who I do believe is deceased. But yes, go on.
Well, I think this was all I think it all came out in the papers and everything, in the news, in the magazines. But you know, he had that masturbation addiction, and I was the one who had to tell the Bible group that. So, you know, it was my job as a woman of Christ to tell our preacher. And well, they, you know, they had to the whole family had to sit out of church for 6 months as the normal punishment. And I mean, well, Melissa just she just did not like that, I'll have to say. And we're better now. He's still masturbating everywhere. But no, her and I, we made our reconciliation. So maybe in season two we can rustle her up and bring her in to make that that fun cameo that everyone's been waiting for.
Oh my. A 6-month timeout just for a little self hanky panky. I know who'd be in jail for a couple years, am I right? Looks over at the same guy and he's so fucking embarrassed. He can't even handle it. He's crying, he's tearing up. I'm sure it'll all get together and she can explain it all, right? So it'll all fit together, it'll work out. I did love that Christmas movie that the two of you guys were in, Coming Home for Christmas. It was called Christmas, and you guys were on a ship the whole time. It was wild.
Yeah, and it was delightful, all those Hallmark movies, you know.
Mm-hmm. We got to turn to our resident heartthrob, Jodo T. Well, Jodo, we're going to get to you being a heartthrob who's on everybody's mind, am I right? And again, it goes back to some girls and like holding up a sign that says, like, Kyle, marry me.
And Jodo like hold up his hands to be like, yes, I, true as that may be, I do prefer to... focus on my acting talents, and to simply refer to me as a heartthrob isn't really doing justice to my my successful forays into being things I'm not.
Oh, well, I'm sure that someone else is focusing mostly on you as a heartthrob. Am I right? And he points again to the same guy, and the guy is just, he is absolutely pissing his pants. He's so embarrassed, and he's laughing, and he can't handle it, and he's like, oh, my. Like he's hiding his face. He's laughing so hard, and his wife is sitting next to him and just laughing and cackling. But I know, in addition to being an actor, you're a huge philanthropist, you're big involved in charity all the time. You're at galas, you're at fundraisers. I've even seen you on a few of those pledge shows for different things. And you know, first off, tell us about your charity, and then I got a little question for you about it, because apparently that came up. So why don't you give us a heads up about the charity? Just tell us about it a little bit.
Oh, sure. It's important work. You know, I'd be remiss not to bring it into the light for the common man to keep in their minds. To keep in their regular minds as they go about their regular lives. And, you know, I've been very active in a foundation I actually started. You know, you could sort of think of it as a cross between Mensa, an organization for tremendously talented, intelligent, passionate, hardworking, very interesting people. And I like to think the other half is like Miss America, for just the slightly more handsome amongst us. So I call it the Mensa Million Foundation. And it's for people who feel that, you know, we're smart, we're talented, we're handsome, we're good at just about everything. We deserve the jobs that would benefit everyone the most by us having. And, you know, I did have a bit of, it was a little disheartening to me when I saw some of the fan reactions to Kyle's story arc, which is a character that I play on this television show. And as he sort of devolves further and further into being sort of a dim lad as the show progresses, there was concern that I distanced myself from Mensa Million and the important work that it does for intelligent, passionate, handsome people. And I just want everyone to know that my philanthropic efforts will not be in any way stymied by my attempts to relate to the common man.
Now, I know I thought some of your work that you did, that PSA about how you shouldn't discriminate against people because they're too good looking. You should you shouldn't avoid giving people jobs because they're just too handsome or beautiful.
You know, it requires a lot of bravery to just accept what you want to do naturally. And, you know, it's strange we have to say that in a world in today's enlightened society. But yes, that's exactly right. You shouldn't be afraid to give the best looking person the job.
That's amen. I think we can all appreciate that this good looking person got this job. Am I right? And then, yeah, there's a teen girl who's like, she runs up on stage and a security guard wrestles her down. And, yeah.
Yeah, Johto doesn't move. Just like takes it all in.
No.
Like nods slightly.
Somebody's been listening to this guy. And the guy is, he's so embarrassed. His face is beet red. He can barely handle it. He's like, he's struggling to breathe. He's laughing so much. He's crying. His eyes are bulging out of his head. He's so embarrassed.
Hello, I'm Jay Shrimpley, owner of Shrimpley's Down Home Seafood Shack, and I want to welcome y'all to come on down for our world-famous big old seafood boil. So come on and join us, all of y'all, and I do mean all of y'all, because apparently everyone is coming to dinner because some nosy federal government says so. So come on down and bring the whole Queer Eye Gang and the Harlem Globetrotters for all I care. We'll see if some federal government's gonna tell me how to fry dang fish. Shrimpley's Down Home Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across from Maxine's Bridal.
Season finale is next week. 1 week away, everybody. 1 week away. We're all super excited. Everybody, people's blood pressure is up because if anything shows up on that night of the week, people are going to be, they're just going to be PO'd. I'll tell you that right now. And everybody's so excited. But, and he turns to the audience, but everybody, I've got a little bit of behind the scenes information right here. It turns out, apparently, and some of you hacktivists out there might know a little bit about this, or just cyber snoops, that apparently there was supposed to be a big twist ending, and gosh darn it, it got leaked. People found out about it. Some of it got leaked. A little bit of the footage was out there. And apparently you guys decided to scrap it and go a whole different direction. So no spoilers for what we're going to get 1 week from today, but can you give us a little sliding doors look at the Elseworlds, the multiverse of madness of what could have been?
Sure. Before the budget was moved around a few different directions based on some developments, there was supposed to be a classic computer-generated imagery fight in the final episode, where there's a great deal of creatures and abominations, some of which you might recognize, faithful viewers, all like just having a real go at it together in a spooky graveyard. And you know, the clip's already out there, so you might as well play it. If you want to play the clip of us before the visual effects are put on this scene, got it ready to go, I hear.
I can't bring myself to do it, to play the full thing. I'll just have a few, because I got to get my beak a little bit wet here. We'll have just a couple of images. We won't play the full thing. I know a lot of people did a lot of hard work putting all those visual effects in and getting everything together, but let's see just a couple of images. We've got, of course, this one with Kyle, Celine, and who is this character?
Oh, and I feel like it's just going to be like footage of just really, really lame looking, like us just standing around like covered in like green paint. And like holding our noses and like pretending we're doing a huge fight and just looks terrible. And like one of the characters has like holding like a big thing in front of their head and they're supposed to be like a giant like sea monster. Another character is like acting like a giant ape, but they're just like a regular person.
There's Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
In the back, of course, Paul, we've got you. You're back there. You're looking just as stoic as ever. I see it's mid injury.
My testicles had both ruptured at that point, and of course I was wearing the cone. I thought that Everett would still be wearing pants in this scene, so I'm wearing pants over the cone, but it just looks like I have a very substantial chode situation going on. It's a real tuna can of a deal.
And that's why we actually had to have him on the horse for most of this scene, and like it shows footage of the hell horse, and it's like the horse's mouth moves and like dialogue comes out of it, but it's terribly synced up, like in no way convincing.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they had to put the cone on the horse's thing, too. That was the most confusing part for me.
Yeah, Paul, why would they have to do that? That seems a little wild. I don't want to talk about it. All right, well, I guess you don't have to. It seems like somebody didn't want some comparisons, and I get it. I get it. I know who really gets it. This guy over here, and it goes to the guy, and he's clearly had a heart attack.
He's like actually crying now, and he's like holding.
No, like the woman who's with it, like his wife is like very disturbed, and she's trying to help him, and she's flagging someone down, and we see like a paramedic come into the shot, or not a paramedic, we see like somebody like a PA or something like that come in and be like, oh my god, what's going on? What's happening? Yeah. So. All right, and of course we've got this scene. Now, this one isn't in a graveyard, so different set, of course. It seems like there's still a lot of green screen. You guys are really getting your money out of this green paint, apparently. I better buy stock in that. But is that a waterfall I see?
You know, in that angle, it kind of looks like a waterfall, but that might be the asteroid, because at this point, I think we were all in space, right?
Oh,
that does sound familiar. Maybe the third set of reshoots?
Yeah. That, I mean, that was fun. I liked the getting rigged up to those harnesses to try and be, weightless. And I didn't tear nothing, so it worked out for me.
Lucky you. Now, in this scene, all of you are, some of you are in spacesuits, some of you are, you're inside some kind of spaceship or space shuttle. And then, of course, we've got Celine over here, and her situation is totally different. Even what could that have been?
Well, I think this is when, correct me if I'm wrong, the writer said that she unlocked some kind of power to, she could astrally project. Is that how you say that? So she didn't need a spacesuit, but she was you'll see like all neon color and lit up like that just to show that kind of a construct of her mind, I believe. I didn't really get it, to be honest. I'm a little bit glad that they retooled that a bit.
Yeah, I'm glad that we ditched that one because my character is a ghost, and to have her just be some kind of ghost out in space that can fly up there because she's shooting herself out as a ghost is just kind of a hat on a hat of a situation. It's the same thing, just doubled up. It's just more of it.
And, yeah, just all them, those lights to make it slightly different. I think you're right on this one.
I mean, especially if we're going to have everybody put the amount of work I did into being a ghost, into understanding what it not means to not be able to touch. I didn't touch anyone the entire time we were filming this season. The whole time, didn't touch a single person. I didn't touch anything. All right.
Now, that said, the contents of his testicles touched all of us for weeks at a time. So that may not technically count in this country. In mine, it does. But there are a great deal of cultural differences between us.
That was a totally different matter. Everett never touched anything. And I, as Everett, didn't touch anything. Now, if there was a rupturing situation and a pustule spray that might have happened towards everyone, that's different. That's in this world that we live in, this dirty world, not the beautiful, pristine world that is the young and the monstrous, something that's amazing, where people don't have hepatitis C that sprays all over their coworkers.
I am glad that we had to get all those vaccinations to get on the set. I did not understand the reason behind it at first, but glad they did it.
Now, that is a funny thing that you guys had to get so many vaccinations and that the shooting happened where it did. Now, originally, this was supposed to mostly be shot, since the show takes place in upstate New York. It was supposed to be shot initially in Canada, but apparently there was an issue and you guys were a little bit farther away. You want to tell us about that?
No. No, thank you.
Well,
dark time.
I will say the tax breaks in Kenya were great, though. I mean, it makes sense.
Great. Now you're going to follow up me saying it was a dark time with that?
Yeah, I've definitely had a pleasant time, but I understand that You just hated it.
I have no further comment.
All I know is if Everett's there, that's where I have to be because I'm being Everett. So it doesn't matter if it's in Kenya. It doesn't matter when we did some reshoots in.
Oh, yes, Paul. Yes, Paul. I also played the character in the same location where the character was. I, Jodorfiel Tremestrine, the actor, played my character, Kyle/Renato, in the same physical location on planet Earth where that character was shooting for the show. I did that too.
Oh, that's funny to hear there, Jodo, because I wasn't seeing that. The person I was seeing there was Jodo T, Mr. Handsome himself, deciding that he has to play another handsome person and be just being himself, walking around, mimicking lines.
All right, guys. All right. This is a lot.
Yes,
all right.
It's almost as if I was able to embody the character so perfectly that no change was needed. Kyle is me. I am Kyle. Is Kyle a handsome man? Of course he is. Look who he is.
That's not what an actor is. An actor becomes another character. You yourself become another a different person. That's what you've never understood, you twit. Come on. You got to get this through your head that you can't just be you on the show. This is why...
I suppose it is difficult to accept the idea that someone is born to play a role. In fact, born to play every role he ever takes on. It's almost like I was sculpted from the clay in such a way that this clay could fit into every single mold it touches.
I know who'd want it to fit into a mold. This guy, he wants it to fit into his mold, and he's very clearly on a stretcher. And one of the paramedics looks at the other one and shakes their head like, "No, he's gone."
That man was too big.
Too big of a pervert, am I right? And he
shows his empty chair.
Yeah, it looks over at, and then and the wife is like walking back and is like, looks back and is like, "Oh, how dare you?" And they leave.
Hi there, folks. I'm Jeff Shrimply Jr., the new spokesman for Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack. And while we may have abandoned certain ideologies, the one thing we'll never abandon is our commitment to great seafood at great prices. So come on down to Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack for a brand new King's Feast. That's catfish, soft-shell crab, and of course our world-famous shrimp, all for $9.99. And don't forget the Roscoe sauce. Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across from Tucker's Toe and Stuff.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for being on Watch Watch. We've got the whole cast of The Young and the Monstrous. And of course, 1 week from today, we're going to have the big finale and it's going to knock your socks off. I've been getting a few little hints from these guys up here, even though they're not supposed to. They've been dropping a little hints. And plus, I'm a regular sleuth, a regular detective when it comes to Hollywood stuff. And I figured out a few little things. And let me tell you guys, you're going to be excited. You're going to be excited to see the show. So without any further ado.
Yes, please do tune in, everyone, for our final show of the season and indeed the series. It's been a great run. It's been a great run of season one of this show.
Whew, boy, it's me again, Jeff Shrimply Jr. from Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack. Listen, I'm sorry, folks, but I didn't even know my dad had a Twitter account, and neither I nor the rest of the folks here at Shrimply's endorsed the stuff that he was saying about the WNBA or the cast of Hamilton, which I didn't even think would be on his radar, let alone the Bush's baked beans dog for some reason. We're not here to make any kind of point, which again, I don't agree with or condone what he was saying or the vivid adjectives he was using. We're a seafood restaurant and we just want to serve quality seafood at affordable prices like our family has for five generations. And as a way for us to say we're sorry, we're throwing in a bottle of Roscoe sauce to go with every purchase over $10. So come on down. We hope to see you all soon. Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across from the Dave's Discount Diver Depot.
Hold on. We just got a message from Sarah, who is giving us a heads up that our regular man on the street correspondent, Lil Manuel, our man on the street correspondent, Lil Manuel is out there and he's talking to some people and you hear people in the background getting all riled up and like, what's happening? What's going on? Somebody says like, why did I even leave my wife? like in the background. And like, Lil Manuel, let's go talk to you about how people feel about this big season finale. And Lil Manuel is kind of like an overweight, very short guy in a Hawaiian shirt. And he goes and he's interviewing people and he's like, so what do you guys think of the Young and the Monsters? And they're like, the Young and the Monsters? You never heard of it. What do you guys think of the Young Monster? And he's getting the name of the show wrong, because you think, like, is he playing up being dumb? Is he a person who's like suffered a traumatic head injury in some kind of way? Like, are they abusing this guy? Is he someone with like a mental disability that they're like making fun of? It's that kind of stuff that, if you remember from like the 90s and early 2000s, was absolutely on TV constantly. Mm-hmm. And is often sometimes still on the TV, still on the TV. I said oldly. Yeah. You get the rabbit ears in the right direction and you see it on the TV. But yeah, so afterwards, after Lil Manuel has like talked to a good number of people, and he's like, that's it, Jackie. People are excited to see the Young Monster and they're excited for the show. And everybody loves the show. They love Kyle. They love Selim. They love the Emily. They love Everb. And Lily is good too. And they love all their adventures and the monsters they fight.
All right, folks, yeah, it was as much of a surprise to me as it was to you, but thanks to some apparently tenacious internet researchers, I guess in retrospect, I had an inkling that maybe our famous Roscoe sauce wasn't named after the chief employee of my great-great-great-grandfather. Well, here, to make it up to you, our valued customers and our friends in the African-American community, all the proceeds from our Roscoe sauce will go to the the UNCF. So come on down, everybody. Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across from the sinkhole that swallowed up Dave's Discount Diaper Depot.
You see Jackie Chestnut, who has come back, and he's like, well, thanks, Lil Manuel. That's a lot of fun. Everybody is, of course, very excited for the show, this big season finale, and you see a totally different studio audience. The studio audience has been entirely replaced. They ushered everybody out, and they brought in the people waiting to see another show to come in here for the 5 minutes of this shoot, and then they'll push them back into the other theater. And they're like, so I'm excited. And of course, many more. We're all waiting. Again, pins and needles, Jodo T. Pins and needles, Belinda, Callie, Paul, and Xanthippe, of course, over there. She couldn't hold it together. Oh, boy. So thank you guys so much for being with us, and thank you, WTAD audience, for being here with me, Jackie Chestnut, on Watch Watch. And the show, and you see, like, the show kind of goes dark, and so you can just see his like the silhouettes of a few people. And of course, Jackie Chestnut goes over, and that woman Sarah, who he's talking to, who's like maybe the director or the producer of the show, there's just very clearly a screaming match between the two of them. And meanwhile, yeah, I think there erupts similarly a screaming match among the cast members.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, those two are Paul and Carl's name here.
So there's
in
Paul,
like a fist fight.
Yeah. Oh, Paul and Jodo T.
Yeah, I'm just clearly pantomiming, like my balls bursting and spraying all over his face.
Yeah, the two of you are pushing each other over and like throwing things at one another. Anything else hilarious happen in this fight that we just see? You guys mostly in silhouette because they've turned the stage lights kind of down to just be like, here's the audience. Everybody's clapping the whole time.
Belinda's just like reading a Bible.
Maybe Belinda's like praying over the chair where that dead man was.
Yeah.
All right. So. And then, of course, the show ends, and Lil Manuel is at the very end of the show, and he's like kind of the sign off for the production company, and he's like, "Everybody, have a good watchers watch show."
Oh, no, folks, my name isn't Jeffrey. It was Jefferson Bedford Shrimply, but I don't have any control over the name I was given. I didn't choose that name, people. Well, you know what?
just for you, I changed my name. Call me Thurgood Marshall Shrimply in honor of our first African-American Supreme Court justice. Is that better? Listen, I just want to serve people fried shrimp. Anyway, we're giving out our famous fried shrimp poppers as appetizers with every order.
Shrimply's Down Home Seafood Shack on Route 7, right across from the militia camp that set up its base in the sinkhole that swallowed up Dave's Discount Diaper Depot.
The Young and the Monstrous,
a Monster Hearts actual play podcast from This American Dice. The Young and the Monstrous is Carl as Kyle the Ghoul, David as Celine the Witch, Eduardo as Everett the Ghost, Lauren as Lilith the Fae, Kate as Emily the Mortal, and Austin is your Game Master. Cover art is by Blair. Monster Hearts is a game by Avery Adler. The Young and the Monstrous airs here on This American Dice every Thursday, so don't forget to check us out each week. Rate, review, like, subscribe, check out our Facebook group, The Whole Nine Yards, and let us know what you think. Every five-star review on iTunes will read on the air. Our intro and outro music, of course, is Deep State by Vans in Japan.
This episode saw some new people introduced. That's right, we've got Belinda Onions, we've got Jodo T, we've got Paul Polland, we've got Callie Conway, not Kellyanne Conway, but Callie Conway, and Xanthippe Clayton. Xanthippe was played by Kate, Callie was played by Lauren, Belinda was played by David, Jodo T was played by Carl, and Austin played our host, Jackie Chestnut, as well as Paul Poland.
I mean, you could always just ask the same question twice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a problem.
Carl,
right?
I've never even said the same word twice.
Yeah, you've actually been inventing words for the last 7 years because you ran out a long time ago.
Most languages I invented earlier. No one had ever spoken French before me.
You're to blame for that.
Yes.
And that's how the transcontinental accent came back.
And that's how the Transcontinental Railroad was built. I thought you were going to say. And everybody, I'm going to answer as Paul. Please feel free to interject so it's not just me talking to me a bunch.
That's why we're all here.
Right. Although that would make me very hard. So I'm going to have to.
That's what she said.
Yeah. It's just my own being in love with the sound of my own voice. So one of you guys, what was Paul Poland's nickname after his testicular, torsion or hemorrhages?
Ruptures? Little empty balls.
Little empty balls.
Paul Ballbuster.
The Nutcracker.
Paul Blart Ball Cop.
Oh wait, what if it's a what's a disgusting meat?
A disgusting meat?
Haggis.
Haggis, liverwurst, no bangers but mashed.
Hey there, folks. It's me, Deborah Shrimply. My late husband, Jeff Thurgood Marshall Shrimply. He wanted us to close the place out with something big, so he's in accordance with his will, we're having a all-you-can-eat festival this here Friday. So come on down, everybody, to Shrimply's. It's the seafood shack on Route 7, right across from where that militia camp made that last stand with the federal government, and you can still see some blood on some of the curbs. Oh.
Shrimply's! It's gaga-goo!